Welcome to Red, White, and Brews. I'm Gru, as in Greg Grugan, your host, doing, I guess, my dream job, drinking beer and talking to interesting friends, people, stud bolts like Wayne Dolciafino. Wayne Dolciafino, legendary Houston investigative reporter, a good friend for a very long time.
Yeah, really is.
Glad to have you, brother.
It's good to be here. And look, if you're going to be Gru, can I be like Dolce or something?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know,
Wayno?
Hey, it's a free zone here.
Because I have so many nicknames, like terrorist, people call me a-hole. I mean, I have so many names.
It's part of the skill set.
It really is. My, you know, I was told once that if I was killed, there'd be 1,000 suspects. You know how long ago that was? Like 30 years ago. So by now, if I'm killed, I imagine there's like 5,000 people.
At least. At
but
least.
I'm still alive. I always thought someone would shoot me by now.
Well, I did too, but you know.
What the hell?
You're beating the under.
Yeah, but I partied. See, I thought I was going to get shot, so I partied like a rock star.
Yeah.
And now I have no money.
Okay, so look. Beside the fact you won 30 Emmys, two more than I did, and we both stopped.
Yeah.
Every national award. You put people away. You have done a tremendous amount of good over the course of three decades of reporting and investigating in our community.
Four now.
Let's go back to the war stories. See, what you guys don't understand is I first met Wayne Dolciafino in 1991. I was Capitol reporter for the ABC affiliate in Austin. Wayne was the investigative reporter for the ABC affiliate in Houston. He would roll into town, immediately open the door and go, got any new interns? I would make a report and then he would say, Wiley's, 10 p.m., be there. Wiley's was a bar on 6th Street at approximately 1:45 in the morning. This is all of us working.
Yep.
He'd say, anybody want another shot? And we'd all say, no. And Wayne would go, another round!
Yeah, Wiley's on 6th Street. It's not there anymore. I forget what it's called now. It's like another name. But Wiley's
Sushi
was,
Bar?
No, it's a Mexican place. But Wiley's was there for so long. And we used to leave in at the Capitol. We had an office. And we used to leave on our voicemail message, if we're not here, call this number. And it was Wiley's. It was a bar. I mean, but that was back in the day when reporters from the TV stations actually covered the Capitol. All the time. I mean, we were there all the time. And look, it's part of the disintegration of the media, right? That nowadays we don't do that stuff. But there were plenty of war stories, and drinking was one of them.
All right, let's go to the fact of the matter, which is over the course of three decades, you held people accountable in this town at a very, very high level. People went to jail because of the investigations that you did. People out there are wondering, why the hell did you split the sheets with Channel 13?
So, first of all, I will tell you that one time I was in a bar and some guy sent over two shots, and of course I drank them because, you know, that's what reporters do. And then I went over to thank him, and he said, you put my mother and father in jail. And you know what I said, because I was such an a-hole? I said, are they having a good time?
Oh, shit, man.
I did. He was a little smaller than me, so I sort of calculated, like, if he would kick my butt, right, if he was bigger than me, and he didn't. He didn't do it. He just wanted me to know that he knew that I had put his parents in jail. Look, I was with Channel 13 a long time, and after Disney came in, it was a different culture, okay? You know that. But it was part of a thing that was happening in TV stations everywhere, okay? So I think Disney was much more conservative and didn't want to cause trouble. If you looked at the owned stations, I was kind of the last of the wild children. I bucked the system, the pressure from down not to do something became much bigger. I was dealing with lawyers almost all the time. And they were New York lawyers. I'm sure they were lovely people, okay? Not really. But they caused me so much grief. And it became almost impossible to do it. I left Channel 13 right really sort of in the middle toward the end of this big constables investigation where we put some constables away. We got some people in the grand jury. And it was sort of, they were going to not continue doing it. And I got out. I said, and I was, you know, I still was paid for a while and gave me time to set up my business. You know, I left without knowing what I was going to do, really.
Look, what people need to know is you can do a tremendous amount of investigative work and have bad guys dead to right, and then you take it to the company lawyers.
And if they
take a pass on it, all your work is not only shelved, but the bad guys continue to get away with it.
Yeah, and that was never a problem while Channel 13 was owned by ABC, okay?
Yep.
It became an issue. And it wasn't just for me. It became an issue for everyone. And I think it's these corporations don't want to get sued. You know, back when I started, back in 1912, right, the insurance was $100,000. After $100,000, it was the insurance company, right? So you did all kinds of stories, right, because you weren't afraid of the liability. But toward the end, everyone was self-insured. And I don't want to make an insurance thing out of this, but, you know, they used to come to me and say, you know, if you get sued, it'll cost us $2 million. Is it worth it to you? And I would say, crap, it's worth it to me. It's not my money. Right, so I'm more than happy to do the stories. But now I get to do what I want.
And that's a good thing. Hey, Red, White, and Bruise will be right back with Wayne Dolciafino.
I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue.
I'm jamming on our theme song. What do you think,
I
Wayno?
I like the song.
All right, Wayno.
I need a theme song.
Hey, look, you left Channel 13 and did something that I didn't have the courage to do, which is to start your own investigative firm. It's unique, and it has done a lot of good. Thank goodness you're out there. In a lot of ways, I have worked off of your work product.
Yeah.
And media used to be like that. A story would develop, and then people would seek to find the next step.
Sure. You remember back in the 90s, whatever, when every TV station in Houston had big investigative units, right? We would go out drinking margaritas at Tila's after each rating period. Me and Kovaleski, especially, Anna Werner sometimes, we'd all meet, all competitors. We knew what each other was working on. We didn't try to steal it. We didn't try to, like, one-up it. We would do our own thing, right? And we'd all meet after to talk about what we had done, right? We were all trying to fight corruption and waste. The lack of that now, the lack of people that can have the time or the commitment to really do that, I think is such a shame for the cities. There really is very little media anymore that's keeping people responsible. That's I think it's totally different.
Okay, back in, I'm thinking around 1992, you caught mayoral candidate Sylvester Turner in a scam, probably cost him the mayor's job.
The first one, I think it did.
Yeah. He, fast forward years later, he becomes mayor, and year after year after year after year, we did stories about what he did to the city of Houston.
Corruption, man. When I heard they wanted to name a street after him or a building, I said, man, name like a garbage station after him. I mean, no offense to anyone who likes him. That guy did deals with his friends and corruption for a very long time. He would scare the media, right? He had that ability to scare everyone off because when I did the stories on him in 91, he sued. He won in trial but lost on appeal. But I was so dead right on that. You know, the guy that faked his death, y'all look online, you can find it. You still find it. Look up insurance fraud Turner. You'll see it. The guy who faked his death in that deal, he's still alive. He's in California. He's like a Hollywood actor. He's been in Star Trek and crap like that. I've talked to that guy. The story never really came out, but Sylvester was very good at scaring you off when you investigated him. And him, and I think at the county, Rodney Ellis and others, think about it. After the COVID thing, we got like $2 billion between the county and the city. Where the hell did it all go? Where the hell did it all go? I mean, we live in a county right now with the county government, not to go off on a tangent, but we have a county judge who, no offense to the mentally ill, is kind of nuts. Okay, I'm just being honest, right? I sympathize. Look, we're all screwed up, right? We all have our mental issues, right? So whatever. But I see her and I see how she acts and what she does. And I go, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I mean, look, you also helped uncover a story that I worked on for a long time at 800 Middle Street. It is symbolic of the entire Turner administration. A low-income housing project built on a toxic dump, or at least surrounded by toxic dumps, and everybody gets rich, including the commissioner's wife. Rodney Ellis's wife.
I've talked to the guy who was in charge of real estate at the Housing Authority, and he says that Mayor Turner let those people in. I think Rodney Ellis's wife was basically proclaimed. Problem is, we have too many politicians whose wives or sisters or brothers or cousins, right, are getting rich. It's the classic government. Look, I've been doing it all my life, right? The greed is out there. Right, I whatever skill set it is, and you know this about me, I can go into a room and I can pretty much tell you who the crooks are. I just can. It's like a smell. I've always understood this. I don't know what that is, but I have a sense of where to go. I'm good at knowing where it is. Right, we engage now in so many fights. It's so hard for people to get public information. I have a full-time person, does nothing but try to get public information. The ability to keep doing this is compromised because local government has gotten greedy. They've gotten cocky. They now believe they can stall you long enough to where there won't ever be a story. You know that.
They count on the fact that people have memories about this big.
Look, they count on the fact, too, that people don't give a crap. Like, people are living their lives, right? People are going about their business, but they do want their money spent wisely, okay? I have become a freak now. I have done so many stories about crooks and waste. I really get pissed off when I see the money spent. You know, we did a story on Leslie Briones' bonuses for her staff the other day, $1.5 million. The arrogance that they're all making so much more money than the average person. I mean, government people, back when we started.
Wayne, that's talent retention money.
Whatever, it's the most ridiculous thing. They're like, Rodney Ellis has a chief of staff who makes $400,000 a year. I mean, what the hell? Who makes that kind of money?
Hold that thought. Red, White, and Bruise will be right back with Wayne Dolciafino.
I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue.
Yeah, here with legendary investigator Wayne Dolciafino having a few sips.
I think Lone Star should pay us for this.
Well, you know, I actually drink this beer.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the national beer of Texas, Wayne.
Well, okay, I drink Peroni, Italian beer.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised.
I'm Italian. Look, I think in another life I was a mob guy.
Well, I think you kind of like that image.
I do. I have a picture of Don Corleone.
You know, it perpetuates
fear.
Well, no, it perpetuates kind of a law-breaking image for Italians.
I don't really break the law.
No,
you know, there are some things that are misdemeanors that really shouldn't be misdemeanors. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I got you. All right. Hey, look, man. You delivered one of the scariest moments, you know, collectively for the Watcher Point team, which you were on for many years. You were an original.
So you threw me off.
You know, word comes in, head-on collision, 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
West Texas, Wayne's going out to handle some case out there. And you didn't walk away from it.
No, I got...
You're damn lucky to be alive.
Yeah, I was pretty much dead on the chopper. They brought me back, but I was in the middle of nowhere. Right side of my body has been screwed up ever since. The other guy is worse than me. But I'll tell you, I did a weird thing. I was going out there to investigate a political candidate. So when I had the accident, I still felt obligated to do this video. And apparently in the hospital, I, along with my son and my producer, Margaret at the time, we did a video. I actually did the audio track. I don't even remember it. I was like deep into the hospital.
Dude, you were on drugs.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Right? Look,
both of your feet were crushed into little pieces.
Yeah, and the right foot is really, it's like this. It's not good. It's gotten worse. You know, I have a lot of things, right? I have MS, I have diabetes. I'm like the poster child for like being medically.
You should be dead. There's a reason you're here.
You can't kill me, okay? I will die, but I tell people all the time, you can't kill me. I've been in a head-on car accident when I was going 70, he was going 75. I mean, we really met, and it's screwed me up. But look, I'm not gonna stop. Look, I think you and I are like one of the few people left of this, whatever it is, right? We are a different breed of journalists. We just are. And it's not to say, you know, we're better than anyone else, but we are committed. Both of us, we see something that's wrong and it really pisses us off. And that's a good thing. And I wish we had more of that now. I think a lot of people are resigned now to, well, it's the government, they're going to waste money, they're going to cheat you, they're going to do stuff. Look, I say, and it's not even a partisan thing. You know, I'm conservative about a lot of things, but, you know, I'm also not a freak conservative, right?
No.
My office thinks I am. I have a bunch of left-wing freaks working for me. I don't know what the hell happened.
It's a younger generation.
Well,
dude,
they're all like that. And I don't know what they're thinking, right? And I think we've screwed up with some of these kids. I don't think they work as hard. Not to be mean, I don't think, because I have people now, that, they're great people. I love my employees, but it's 5 o'clock. You think we work in a damn factory. Like some horn had gone off. At 5:01, they're all downstairs. Like, how do you even know it's 5:01? Because you've been watching the clock. They want to go have work-life balance. You and I didn't have work-life balance. I mean, I'm a good dad, right? I have grandkids. I see them all the time. I love them to death. But we worked all the time. I remember in Waco, it's before I got married, I was there for like 2 months, dude.
Dude, it's legendary.
Waco is legendary.
Yeah, well, I wasn't there. I was in Austin covering the legislature, but word got back to me that there was the Channel 13 RV.
Yep.
And that...
Margaritas and pasta.
The DPS dogs heading to another location were attracted to it because there was... A particular odor coming out of it.
Yeah, and I don't know what that was. You know, I mean, I really don't. But I will tell you that if we're living in an RV, essentially on the side of the road, we're going to do what the hell we want. We would trade ABC caps to the ATF to bring women in. There was a all nude bar, if you know, down the street.
Well, you know that. You got to keep morale up.
Look, I don't apologize for anything. I was a hard charging, still am, dude, okay? I worked hard, I played hard, I lived hard, and when I die, so this is one of those videos we can use when I die.
Right?
When I die, people will say, when Wayne was in someone's crap, he was in someone's crap. I like that.
You matter. You matter, Wayne Dolciafino.
Well, look, I think I matter during a time, and I think, I hope... Look, I think information is so dispersed now through the media, social media. I mean, this show obviously has, what, millions of viewers now, right? So
dozens at least.
Yeah. But this is where it is now. People have to watch these things. I mean, I'm just concerned that because of everything that's out there on the phones and crap,
yeah,
that people don't even know. Half the people don't even know who the damn vice president is. No offense. I've said it on your show. Sometimes I think people are too stupid to vote.
You know,
I do.
You know, one of the things that makes us at least worth listening to is we don't give a crap anymore.
Can I say the word?
Yes.
Shit. I don't give two shits. I mean, people now threaten me. I got a letter just the other day, cease and desist from doing something. And you know what? I really don't care. First of all, I'm in my 60s. Sue me now. I'll probably be dead before you get me to court. And I do. My company does all the investigations that everyone else can't do or afraid to do. And you know what? I love it.
Hey, man, will you come back? Will you do this with me again?
I think this show is too short. I think it should be like hours.
We're going right now. Hey, join us next week for Red, White, and Bruce.
Bless you, everybody. I pledge allegiance.